Welcome to Entrusted Hope Podcast, a ministry outreach of Entrusted Hope Ministries. We're so glad that you've chosen to join us today as we dive into the Word of God, entrusting to you what has been entrusted to us. Join us now as our host and Bible teacher, Dr. O'Shea Lowry, teaches God's unchanging truth while passing on life lessons entrusted to her amid her journey.
Hey, this is Shay, and it is my great delight to bring to you a message today that has become so near and dear to my heart. It is a message of hope. So I'm going to be reading from portions of Jeremiah chapter 32. Jeremiah chapter 32. During this particular time, God had given Jeremiah a message for the people. Jeremiah prophesied that Jerusalem would be captured by the Babylonians as well as their king. Well, this did not set well with people. In fact, it landed Jeremiah into prison. But during this particular trying and troubling scene, God brings forth another message to the prophet, one that will be tied to a future hope. Today, I want to bring to you a message entitled, Our Hope Can Never Be Captured by the Enemy. Would you join me, please, now as I begin in Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 1 through 5. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the 10th year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, which was the 18th year of Nebuchadnezzar. Now, at that time, the army of the king of Babylon was besieging Jerusalem, and Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the guard, which was in the house of the king of Judah, because Zedekiah, king of Judah, had shut him up, saying, Why do you prophesy, saying, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I am about to give this city into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he will take it. And Zedekiah, king of Judah, will not escape out of the hand of the Chaldeans, but he will surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon. And he will speak with him face to face and see him eye to eye. And he will take Zedekiah to Babylon, and he will be there until I visit him, declares the Lord. If you fight against the Chaldeans, you will not succeed. So I want to bring to us, as we begin this message, I want to bring us first to the scene of how it looked during that particular period. From the human eye or from the human perspective, the scene looked incredibly hopeless. God was bringing discipline to his people. He was using the Babylonians were the enemies, and they were attacking God's people, and they came to conquer Jerusalem with a vengeance. People were fearful. They were losing their jobs. They were losing their homes. They were scattered. People's lives were in disarray. At this point, portions of the land had already been captured, and the enemies were standing at the walls of Jerusalem waiting to enter in order to capture. I want you to remember that phrase. It'll be very important later on in this message. They were waiting to enter in order to capture. Jeremiah was in prison for faithfully proclaiming the message God had given him. So to sum up in just a few words what the scene looked like, I would say it was hopeless, desolate, and to many, it looked like it was over. But now I want us to come to, secondly, the message that God gives Jeremiah in the midst of this scene. We have just looked at the scene. Now I want us to look at the message. Right in the middle of a hostile takeover, God reveals to Jeremiah another scene, if you will, that is about to take place while delivering a precise message that he would be called to carry out. God conveyed to Jeremiah that he would be approached by his uncle to purchase a field. And sure enough, that's what happened. The uncle came to Jeremiah and said, hey, will you buy my land? And so the Lord commanded Jeremiah that he was to do this and gave him precise directions to carry out. I want to pick up now at Jeremiah 32, verses 6 through 8. And Jeremiah said, The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Behold, Hanamel, the son of Shallum, your uncle, is coming to you, saying, Buy for yourself my field, which is at Anathoth, for you have the right of redemption to buy it. Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the guard, according to the word of the Lord, and said to me, Buy my field, please, that is at Anathoth, which is in the land of Benjamin, for you have the right of possession and redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. Well, Jeremiah buys the field. He signs and seals the deed. He weighs out the silver for the purchase of the land. And then he commands the deeds to be placed in an earthenware jar so it will last a long time. And he closes it by saying, "For thus saith the Lord, the host, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards will again be bought in this land." God brings a message of hope right in the middle of what appeared to be a hopeless situation. Well, Jeremiah obeyed what God asked him to do, but looming in Jeremiah's mind was just a little bit of confusion, if you will. You see, the property that God had asked Jeremiah to purchase was already in the hands of the enemy. And so we come to the next point. Jeremiah questions the Lord. Again, Jeremiah was obedient to what God had instructed him to do, but he was clueless as to the reason why. I want to pick up in verses 17 through 25, and we're going to see Jeremiah have a dialogue with God in a very respectful way. Jeremiah honors the Lord in this dialogue, reminds him of his faithfulness, of what he has said, of all that he says he's going to do. But right at the end of this, you're going to see Jeremiah with a little bit of confusion as to why he has been asked to purchase land that's in the enemy's hands. Jeremiah 32, I'm going to start at verse 17. "Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you, who shows loving kindness to thousands, but repays the iniquity of fathers into the bosom of their children after them. O great and mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name." Now you see him honoring the Lord in this dialogue. "Great in counsel and mighty indeed, whose eyes are open to all the ways of the sons of men, giving to everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his deeds, who has set signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, and even to this day, both in Israel and among mankind. And you have made a name for yourself as to this day. You brought your people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm and with great terror, and gave them this land which you swore to their forefathers to give them, a land flowing with milk and honey. They came in and took possession of it, but they did not obey your voice or walk in your law. They have done nothing at all that you commanded them to do. Therefore, you have made all this calamity come upon them. Behold, the siege ramps have reached the city to take it, and the city is given into the hands of the Chaldeans who fight against it because of the sword, the famine, and the pestilence. And what you have spoken has come to pass, and behold, you see it. You have said to me, O Lord God, buy for yourself a field and with money and call in witnesses, although the city is given into the hands of the Chaldeans." Jeremiah began his dialogue once again by reminding God that nothing was too difficult for him. And Jeremiah believed this truth, but he still could not understand the reasoning behind purchasing the field. In other words, Jeremiah was saying, "God, you are good, you are faithful, and you have done exactly what you have said that you would do. Yet the enemy has taken over the land, and you are asking me to purchase something they already have." At this point, Jeremiah is giving more power and emphasis and focus to the enemy than he is of the God that's over the enemy. At times, we too may struggle to believe because the scene looks so bad that anything good can come from it. But that's exactly what God was telling Jeremiah. Although the scene looked hopeless, God was telling Jeremiah that one day, he was going to bring restoration, not only to the land, but also to the people. You see, Jeremiah could only see what was in front of him, but God saw and knew what was coming. Jeremiah had his time with the Lord, and the Lord listened to Jeremiah. He allowed him to speak with him, and he spoke and shared his concern. And now we're going to hear God's response to Jeremiah. I want you to look and listen at the difference of the two dialogues. Jeremiah is dialoguing from what he sees in front of him, but God is about to dialogue with what he sees and knows is coming. "Then the word of the Lord," verse 26, "then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?" At this point, God is reminding Jeremiah of who he is and that he is over all flesh, even the enemies of the land. The Lord began a dialogue with Jeremiah, reminding him that yes, he was bringing discipline to the land, but he was also going to bring restoration. I want you to listen as I just sporadically read at the latter part of Jeremiah 32. I want you to hear the promises that God makes to a prophet who could not understand why he was called to do a particular act in purchasing the field. God stated, "I will bring them back to this place and make them dwell in safety." Now remember, the scene is chaotic. They are being captured. They are being taken into exile. They are called at this point the captives. But here God said, "I'm going to bring them back to this place and I'm going to make them dwell in safety. They shall be my people and I will be their God, and I will give them one heart and one way that they may fear me always for their own good and for the good of their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them that I will not turn away from them to do them good. And I will put the fear of me in their hearts so that they will not turn away from me. I will rejoice over them to do them good and will faithfully plant them in this land with all of my heart and with all my soul. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, houses and fields and vineyards will again be bought in this land, and I will restore their fortunes, declares the Lord." Jeremiah would quickly come to understand once and for all why he was asked to purchase the land. It was both a picture and action step toward a promise. In other words, all that Jeremiah could see was the chaotic scene and the confusion and the people losing things and the enemies just prospering. That's all that Jeremiah could see. But God reminded Jeremiah on this day that more good was coming than what he could have ever even realized. You see, God was not finished with the scene, even though it looked as though he was. Point to ponder. The seen enemies had captured the land, but an unseen enemy had attempted to capture Jeremiah's hope. But God was over both the unseen enemies as well as the enemies. Even though the scene looked absolutely hopeless, God would turn it all around for good. Even though the enemy was pouncing on the territory, God was still in control and would have the last say. No enemy would stop it, no capture would cease his work, and no doubting or limited vision would derail the Lord's plan. He had spoken, "Houses and vineyards will again be bought in this land." At times, we too struggle to see good out of bad situations. Yet when we turn the scene over to the Lord's hands, he's going to give us a new vision to see. Here recently, I just taught one of my Sunday school classes on the book of Nehemiah and on some leadership qualities that I saw in him. Well, the children of Israel were taken into captivity, yet many years later, a remnant of those individuals would return, but they would return in still disarray, and things had not gotten the way that it was supposed to be. And God placed a calling on Nehemiah's heart to go back and rebuild the walls. Nehemiah had a visit one day from some people, and he asked, "How are the remnant of the captives? How are they doing? How is Jerusalem?" Now, I want you to listen at their response, because all they could see was the scene, and this was their response. "The remnant who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates burned with fire." Now, this was the actual scene. This was what was going during this time, but I want to say this, that Nehemiah, because he knew that the hand of God was on his life, Nehemiah saw what other people could not see. They saw desolation. Nehemiah saw opportunity. When they saw broken down walls, Nehemiah saw the walls going up. When they saw that they were unprotected because the walls were broken down, Nehemiah had a plan to build those walls, and so he cast his vision. They saw an ending. Nehemiah saw a new beginning. They saw desolation, it's over. Nehemiah engaged the people and encouraged the people to rebuild and to get busy with the work that God had called them to do. You see, the scene will mess us up. If this is why people, they stop praying, the marriage gets worse, the prodigal goes even farther away, and they pay more attention to the scene. The scene is sending a message, but God is sending a message of hope. Well, if I were to ask you today, what is your present scene before you? Mine is one of being redirected and repositioned. I have had the wonderful privilege of serving in a wonderful ministry, but due to the crisis at hand, I'm about to be repositioned and redirected. And, you know, when I first heard the news, my heart was so at peace because I knew that the Lord was in control. But as time went by, the enemy began to camp out and try to insert fear into me, if you will. Do you remember at the beginning of this devotion, I ask you to remember a certain phrase. Remember that the enemies were standing at the walls of Jerusalem waiting to enter in order to capture. Well, that was what was happening to me. An unseen enemy was just encircling me with fear tactics, waiting to enter my thoughts in order to capture my faith. Yet God used it all to bring me to Himself. And just like God showed up in the middle of that prison with a desolate situation and gave Jeremiah a message of hope, God showed up to me one evening and gave me too a message of hope, reminding me that He was going to take care of me and He was in charge of this journey. Difficult trials will come, but the enemy will always stand waiting to enter in order to capture your hope and your faith. Whatever the scene, whatever the questions, there is a message of hope awaiting God's children. No matter the Babylonians, no matter the virus, no matter the trial, no matter the repositioning or the redirecting, God is saying today, I've got this and I've got you and I am working all things together for good, for those who love me. Would you be willing today to get alone with the Lord and present your scene before Him so that He could come in the middle of your scene and speak a message of hope, just like He did to Jeremiah and just like He did to me on one particular evening. Just as God spoke to Jeremiah that day, He's still speaking the same message to us today. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me? Remember, our hope can never be captured by the enemy because of Jesus. Because of the gospel message, we are not defeated. Because of the gospel message, what looks to be chaos all around us right now and so much confusion and so much trying times, God is not finished with us. We are still here. He still has a plan and a purpose, and He's going to use all of this if we let Him and work in and through our lives through the difficulty of the situation. We do not have to be downcast. We do not have to throw in the towel. We do not have to quit, and we must never quit because we have the answer to the confusion, and we have the hope that many people in this world today need. I want to end today with a poem, and I want you to remember again this message of hope, that our hope can never be captured by the enemy. One day I faced a moment with God from an uncertain period, you see. I was fearful, worried, and not in control. I was storm-tossed by waves of unbelief. So I went to my closet, got down on my knees, and began to offer up my pleas. Dear Lord, I said, I am so afraid. A future right now I can't see. The Lord said, daughter, just listen to me, for I promise I'm going to see you through. I sent you my son. I spared him not. He gave his life for you. Why would I not give you all things? Why do you doubt me now? For though you can't see, I certainly can. Put your hands now to the plow. For just around the corner is your promised land, one I've kept just for you. I'm bringing you there most assuredly. Just follow and keep walking in my truth. Okay, I said, Lord, I will take your hand, but mine are shaking indeed. That's okay, he said, mine are not. I've got you. Now let me take the lead. So without hesitation, I put my hand in his, yet barely walking at the time. He picked me up and carried me on, one step I took at a time. For on that day, I put my stake down to trust and yes to obey. Wherever, Lord, you lead, I'll follow. With faith, come what may. No matter the message the enemy proclaims, I'm choosing to trust in your truth. No matter how uncertain before me may seem, nothing is too difficult for you. So move forward, I will, as best I can, looking to you instead of to the current scene. For amid this trial and uncertain times, from your truth is where I'm going to glean. Though the enemy waits to enter in order to capture, O God, I will go to my knees, proclaiming this truth that my hope will never, ever be captured by the enemy. So onward, let's go with confidence and trust, knowing that God has a plan. Be strong and courageous. Rest in Him, for our lives are in His hands. When we give the scene to God, there is no telling what He is going to do in and through the situation. But if we let the scene speak truth to us instead of God's word, then we will become discouraged as well. May we be like Nehemiah. Though others see destruction, may we see hope. Though others see broken down walls, broken down families, may we see those walls being built, those families being placed back together. Though others have said it's over, may we say it's not over because of Jesus Christ. May we see a new beginning. Our hope can never be captured by the enemy because of Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, and I want to end in prayer. Lord, thank you for this time, and thank you for giving us the message of hope. And thank you, Lord, that the scene never has the final say, but God, you do. Your word does. We trust you, and we love you. And go with us throughout the rest of this day, and Lord, place a new faith in our hearts. May we move forward, not looking at the scene, but looking to Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray and ask. Amen. Thanks so much, guys. It's been great being with you today, and I hope you have a splendid rest of the day. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Entrusted Hope Podcast. We pray today's teaching brought you hope and comfort in God's truth and in His love. For more information on Entrusted Hope Ministries, visit our website at www.entrustedhopeministries.org. Have a blessed day, and thank you again for listening to Entrusted Hope Podcast, an outreach of Entrusted Hope Ministries.